Spearheading change, Iowa's Board of Regents nudging the three state universities, updating, cooperating, saving. We're questioning Regents leaders Bruce Rastetter and Katie Mulholland on this edition of Iowa Press.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation.
I'm a dad.
I am a mom.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid at heart.
I'm a banker.
I'm an Iowa banker.
No matter who you are, there is an Iowa banker who is ready to help you get where you want to go. Iowa Bankers, allowing you to discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks.
Iowa Communications Network. The availability of high-speed broadband service is essential to fulfilling the promise of a connected Iowa. ICN's Broadband Matters campaign showcases the importance of delivering broadband to all corners of Iowa. Information is available at broadbandmatters.com. Iowa Community Foundations, an initiative of the Iowa Council of Foundations, connecting donors to the causes and communities they care about, for good, for Iowa, forever. Details at iowacommunityfoundations.org. The Associated General Contractors of Iowa, the public's partner in building Iowa's highway, bridge, and municipal utility infrastructure.
The Arlene McKeever Endowment Fund at the Iowa Public Television Foundation, a fund established to support local programming on Iowa Public Television.
For decades, Iowa Press has brought you politicians and newsmakers from across Iowa and beyond. Now celebrating more than 40 years of broadcast excellence on statewide Iowa Public Television. This is the Friday, March 25 edition of Iowa Press. Here is Dean Borg.
Iowa's Board of Regents is a buffer, theoretically shielding the state's universities from the politics of government, protecting academic freedom. But as the regents govern the three universities, there's still some chafing on the campuses about how the regents govern. In some cases, for economy and improving student educational opportunities, nudging away from academic tradition. But academia's societal role is leading the cutting edge. So the regents must govern by knowing when to get out of the way. Bruce Rastetter leads the 9-member regents board, all appointed by Governor Branstad. Katie Mulholland, a retired public school superintendent, is the regents president pro tem. Welcome back to Iowa Press, both of you.
Yeah, thank you.
And I must say, I've got to modify what I said, especially for you, Regent Rastetter, because you are not politically neutral. You make your politics pretty well known. And I don't know if that carries over into the regents' governance or not, but we'll see as we go along here in the questioning.
Okay, that'd be great. Happy to answer that question.
Thank you. And across the table, as we begin the questioning, James Lynch, who writes for the Gazette, published in Cedar Rapids, and Radio Iowa's news director, Kay Henderson.
Mr. Rastetter, speaking of politics, you've inserted yourself in the Steve King versus Rick Bertrand primary. Why?
Well, I think as we look at the primary and look at the congressional district that I live in, I still live in Hardin County and care about agriculture and a variety of things, that when Senator Bertrand had an interest in running and representing the district, I think the district needs a congressman who represents all constituents.
And you don't think Steve King
Well,
does?
I think Steve has represented a variety of national issues rather than being a congressman that's more intent on solving constituent problems, constituent issues, and also issues that are really important to the district, like what we saw on ethanol in the caucuses.
King says that you recruited Bertrand, not as you described Bertrand was interested in running and you're supporting him.
Well, if someone tells you they're interested and you think that they'd make a great congressman, then you when you tell them you support them, I would guess whether you call that recruiting or whether you call that encouraging. I believe in helping principled people win.
You thought Chris Christie would make a great president, and now he's endorsed Donald Trump. Are you going to follow suit and support Donald Trump for president?
Well, I did think Chris Christie would make a great president. I still think he would today. And he's a good person, has provided great leadership in a blue state. And so my view is that he did that for reasons to get involved, believing Donald Trump's going to win and believing he can impact in a positive way his campaign. So my intention is to support the nominee.
Do you think Chris...
I just inserted before the case. How do you feel about Regent Rastetter leading the Board of Regents and being very much politically active? You don't wear your politics on your sleeve. How do you feel about that?
I really appreciate it because it helps in the dialogue. It helps set the direction for what we do as regents and to understand where I need to take a stand in terms of academics for the students and so on. So I really appreciate it. I will tell you that I live with a very strong Republican at home, and so a lot of this dialogue is not new to me. So, you know, again, I appreciate knowing clearly where Bruce stands and how to work with that.
Go ahead, Kate.
Back to, you mentioned ethanol and the renewable fuel standard. You are an advocate of it. What is the future of it, given that Ted Cruz won the Iowa caucuses?
Well, I think the future is that, you know, it was a splintered decision. I mean, he won, but by not a lot. And I think the future of ethanol, in particular for the 4th District, is critical. It has more ethanol plants, produces more corn than any congressional district in the U.S., and it's really critical for Iowa that we continue to have support for the RFS. So that's why I'd involve. From a practical standpoint, we can't ignore that. And I think from a politics standpoint, Dean, to your question, the reality is that we rely on state appropriations. And we have worked really hard as a board to make sure that we're open and transparent with the legislature so we change the dynamics on the state appropriation, and we've done that. And you can ask me questions about supporting, you know, this person in the primary for the Republican cause. Yes, I'm going to state my opinion because I think it's important to make a difference if you can. But at the same time, we have had effective state report and support and a partnership with the state that has allowed us to freeze tuition for 2.5 years. And that's come because the governor is supporting our public universities. The House Republicans have changed their perspective, I think, in a variety of ways because we're open and transparent. And the Senate and Senator Gronsall and his caucus have been very supportive, and we appreciate that. So by nature, this is politics. But I think if you ask them, we have been helpful, and I have been helpful in making sure that we change that dynamics of state support that's so important to the public universities.
Well, just to follow up on that, Regent Mulholland, you don't believe then being so strongly, openly Republican jeopardizes your chances in winning Democratic support in appropriations in the Iowa Senate, for example?
Well, and I don't believe that that harms it at all. In fact, it brings attention to it in the fact that educating our students is not really political. It's about our best natural resource and what we contribute to the state of Iowa and to the economy, and that shouldn't be tied into politics. And I think, just to back up what Bruce said, our legislators are focused on education. And they are focused on getting us, keeping us where we are and helping us exceed in what we're doing. So being transparent about what you stand for, I think, is a good thing.
Jim?
Sticking with the financial support for the regents, you've asked for $20 million in additional appropriations for the coming year. It looks like $8 million might be the high water mark of what the legislature and the governor are considering. And you've said that if you don't get $8 million, tuition will have to go up. There are a lot of nervous students and parents out there who want to know, how much is tuition going to go up and when is it going to go up? Do you have an answer at this point, Ms. Mahan?
Well, I think when we look at the span of the $8 million plus what we asked for, I think whatever gets through the legislature and is approved by the governor, we have to come back and look at what the effect is on our overall finances and make a decision then. That's what we've done in the past 4 years, is take a look at that and make a decision on not hurting the quality of the education that the students are getting, but what is it that we can manage to operate on.
Well, Regent Rested, let's sharpen his question. Well, you're sending a message here today that parents had better, that the way things look in the legislature today, that they better be ready maybe to pay a bit extra in tuition?
Well, I think we want, you know, we want to be practical about it. And one of the reasons I think we've been successful with the legislature is we've been very open about the needs that we have. We tried to be modest with that and say, if you provide the universities this increase, we will freeze tuition. And so everyone knows what's going to happen when we go into the legislative session. So what I would say to parents is, let's be patient. Looks like the legislative session is going to get done earlier. We think that number needs to be north of $8 million. And when we find out what that is, we will ask the universities to come back to us in a logical way as to what we approve in June and what we move forward with. So, you know, we would hope that it would just be a slight increase at the worst case, but let's let the legislative process work out.
In budget presentations to not only the governor but to legislators, Iowa State University President Stephen Leith said his institution, at least, is at a tipping point financially. How so, and what's the resolution?
Well, it is, and I think one of the things we've talked about is that the dependence upon state appropriation, in particular for UNI, that has had historic financial budget problems that we've identified and the legislature has been helpful with, and also Iowa State with its in-state student population of over 22,000 students. So we will need to look at international tuition, non-resident tuition, and we'll need to look at resident tuition. And we have also have some concern about the growth of the university. Iowa State's a very popular place. And when parents and want to send their children there, and that it's important that they have a quality education along with it. And I know that's President Leaf's concern.
Speaking Mulholland, of- I just want to ask you then, this performance model that you tried last year in order to transfer some of the state appropriation more to UNI and Iowa State because they enrolled more Iowa students and decreased University of Iowa's appropriation, is that idea dead?
I would say the idea of a performance-based plan is dead, but as we look at the needs, we do have to base it on enrolling Iowa students and how the tuition is about 31% of the funding that the universities have, and I'm sorry, 64%, and the state appropriation is about 31%. And when you begin to think about where the burden is, we have to take a look at how we can balance that out because we want our universities to be accessible and affordable. Those are main drivers.
Did that idea of performance funding damage the appropriations process at the legislature? Do you regret floating that idea?
I don't regret floating it and being a part of the committee because it was time for us to really bring a lot of things out into the open. And if you don't try some ideas on trying to get equity and funding and have people understand some of the dynamics between the funds and the expenditures. So I don't regret that at all. And it really raised the dialogue about what the universities need, especially UNI.
Did you have something
to add? Yeah, I think one of the things, Dean and Kay, to think about is the legislature did respond to the issues surrounding performance funding. We've had 3 years in a row of additional funding for UNI in recognition of their challenge of 92% in-state students. So they have. And also I think it's important that the public know that this board has high priorities to help lower student debt and maintain access and affordability and improve the quality of education. So part of performance funding was progress to degree and degree attainment. If you don't get freshman classes as a freshman, you're not going to have progress to degree and graduate in 4 years. And if you don't graduate in 4 years, you're going to have high student debt, and you're going to have challenges paying for that. So a lot of legislators understood that, and there was a key component of performance-based funding well beyond in-state student residence. It was also about accessibility.
So you think you made some
and affordability? I think
yeah.
we did, and yeah. I and you and I, as a result of that, and the understanding of Iowa State's role. And also the University of Iowa's opportunity at targeted funding of faculty salaries is an important part of what we're doing today.
Jim? Okay. I'm sorry.
Three Regent schools, all three of them, made the NCAA tournament field. Mr. Rastetter, is that going to boost student recruitment, number one? And number two, what happens to the revenue? Because the schools get money for participating.
Well, I think what happens to the revenue is, as you know, in the three schools, the athletic revenue goes into the athletic department. And in particular for UNI, that's extremely important because they have a tight budget, both athletically and academically, and it typically does result in student recruitment, both in-state and nationally, because of all the publicity that the universities get, which is a really positive way. And I think it makes Iowans feel terrific about the three universities.
To say the hiring of Bruce Harrell as president of the University of Iowa created a firestorm, might be putting it mildly. What's the biggest challenge for President Harrell now, and for the Board of Regents to get beyond his hiring and how that process worked? How do you get beyond that and reassure the faculty and staff that you have their best interest at heart and the university's best interest at heart. Let's start with you, President Brasnick.
Yeah, I think you do the things that President Harold's doing. You have the public open town halls. This sometimes can become difficult, is what we saw. But the majority of the people there were supportive on outlining a strategic plan. I think you talk openly and honestly about the challenges of the university, how we make good programs great, how we improve the quality of education, how we improve that discussion on the campus level, and how we're good stewards both with tuition dollars, taxpayer dollars, and that are used to improve it. So I think he's doing all the right things, meeting with all the constituency bases, continue to hear that everywhere. And so I think that's how you do that.
One of the things that Sally Mason laid out before she retired as president was changing the culture in Iowa City. Is that something you've charged President Harold with, to continue that effort to change the culture? And how's he doing? How will he do that?
Well, it is a big part of where we see the future of the University of Iowa. And that's our expectation as he is the president of the university and moving it forward. And Bruce mentioned, and he's laying the groundwork. He's available. He's meeting with all different constituencies.
Do you think, though, that there's a segment that's never going to accept a change in culture?
I do. But that's in any large organization. You have folks who do call the question, who are concerned about change, and for whom change is very difficult. And again, as we think about what our students' needs are going to be for the future, and our focus again, and I'm going to say it again, affordability and accessibility, we really are building their careers and adding to the economy of Iowa. And if we don't move that culture forward on addressing what needs to happen for our students in the future, when you graduate 18,000 students and put them in through the economy, they better be ready to work, and that's part of the culture that needs to be changed.
But Mr. Rastetter, what are you talking about when you say culture? I don't live in Iowa City, and a lot of people who are watching this are saying, what are they talking about?
Well, I think what you do is you try to move the university forward more quickly and programs back to they become good and they can become great. An example of that, and President Harold had mentioned that he's going to talk about this at the board meeting in April. But he recently turned down spending $80 million on the new art museum downtown. There was articles about that. And the reason he did is twofold. One, it would take years to get the building built and be a very expensive building. At the end of the day, the university would have to sign a lease that would cost about $140 million in total. So his perspective was, we don't need art not on the campus for another generation. It needs to happen more quickly. So he asked his team to go back to the drawing board to see if they couldn't use university property that the university already owns rather than downtown property that has better uses, and to find a way to use existing facilities to bring that art there more quickly, get a world-class facility built, and that is accessible, that's in a high-profile traffic area, so I think you'll be seeing that. That's an example that might have gotten approved a few years ago that now won't. So it's good for taxpayer money, it's good for art students, it's good for liberal arts, and it'll be good long-term for everyone associated with the university. That's how you change a culture, and I think he's doing a variety of those things.
Speaking of change, the Board of Regents structure hasn't changed for decades. Now there's an effort to have more coordination, you call it articulation, between the community colleges and these three state universities. Is it time to change the governance, Ms. Mulholland, of the Board of Regents and include the community colleges as part of that, or conversely, have a board for each of the three institutions, which many states do?
You know, those are all interesting questions, and I really haven't given much thought to changing because we're so immersed in what we're doing now. Different states have different structures.
Right.
And, you know, it's worth a discussion and reflection, but I really don't have anything to
say
about it.
What about you, President?
Well, I think that, you know, the state has a significant amount of education between K through 12, community colleges, and the three public universities, plus the support of the private colleges and universities of the $50 million scholarship program that the state provides. There are significant articulation agreements between the universities and the community colleges. I think a governance of the community college system needs to be looked at in terms of a governance system that makes that more seamless for the regents system to work with.
Bring today, them under the Board of Regents?
I wouldn't say bring them under the Board of Regents, Dean. You know the challenges politically with that. But I would suggest that there needs to be a more streamlined governance within the community college
system. You've never
been
shy politically. Is this something that you want to lead?
And in regard to the regents system, you know, I think we have enough challenges today, so we'll just wait for that for another board. But I think that the system works well. I think, but what you've seen, because of concern about tuition increases, that this board is not a placeholder board. It takes very serious its responsibility of governance, of oversight, of making sure the future of accessibility, affordability, and how we improve the quality is there. It's a $5 billion a year system. It has 80-some thousand students. It has 1.4 million people visiting university hospitals every year. So it's important that this board set a strategic plan.
Jim?
Does Iowa have too much college and university? I mean, when we talk about competition for students, cost of higher education, do we have too much? Too many institutions?
You know, I think that's for the state to try and determine. Our concern is that we need appropriate state appropriations to maintain quality at the public universities.
Let me ask it this way to you, Regent Mulholland. What about that AIB campus in Des Moines? It's been given to the University of Iowa. The Regents kind of took it over. Excuse me. When are we going to see courses there?
Well, we're waiting. We are doing a market study to see what kind of courses, what kind of traffic we can get there, what kind of enrollment, and so on. We're going to get that back, in May?
In April and May.
So we're going to learn about that. We also have charged the university presidents to get together and work out what might be best. For example, if we have an actuarial science courses, and UNI is the outstanding provider of those, then that would be a logical course to be offered out of the AIB or the campus once we decide our marketing.
And what is going to happen?
You know, I'm not sure of the timeline. The marketing study is very important. I know that President Harold has been charged with working with the other two presidents and coming up with a plan on how that should happen. So we're in process right now, and we expect to hear.
And just to comment, Dean, on that, in terms of the regents taking that over, we already have two regent centers in Des Moines. Iowa State University has in Capitol Square, Papa John Center, the University of Iowa has. This would be an additional one. What we thought made sense is let's step back and let's ask the universities to be thoughtful with limited precious dollars on how they work together to not duplicate, but provide the Des Moines community with what it needs. And we've heard that consistently from the Des Moines community, that there's a real need for a variety of presence by the public universities on courses.
Western Iowans often exercise that same philosophy that, you know, these institutions are on the east side of the state, they're not on the west side of the state. As maybe you have private colleges close, what's best for the Regent system, to maybe have a footprint in Western Iowa or to expand online courses for the 350,000 Iowans who started at one of these three schools but never finished?
Clearly one of the areas identified in our tier study was the need for more online courses. So the academic review that's going on right now that Katie's actively involved with shows that we need to do that, because there are 350,000 people with partial degrees, and we know if someone has a degree, that makes a huge difference in their life earning and the quality long-term of their life and their family's life. And so that's important. So having something in Sioux City, the University of Iowa has a small location there, but more online learning, having a location back to that's not duplicated by all three. We don't need all three in different buildings. Mm-hmm. We need them working together on those satellite locations if they're going to be there.
Let me just ask a question that might be related to that. The School for the Blind in Vinton has been diversified really throughout Iowa, and students who are blind receive instruction in their home communities. Is there at all any discussion, Regent Mulholland or Regent Rastetter, about selling that Vinton campus? I mean, we've seen mental health institutions, Mount Pleasant, Clarinda, and the Toledo juvenile home there being closed. What about closing the Vinton campus, selling it?
Well, I think one of the things that you've seen the board office do is we had consolidated superintendents between the School for the Braille and the Blind in Council Bluffs here a few years ago. And also with the tornado that went through the Vinton campus, mm-hmm. the main building had the roof torn off, and so we've applied for FEMA dollars, and that's being fixed. And we've been in visits with the community because there are other uses for it to make sure that that campus stays intact. But it is not a resident campus today.
Yes.
And so it makes sense to look at that because we've already consolidated some of those services.
To look at selling it.
To look at what a better use may be, since we're not fully utilizing the campus, for the whole community as a whole.
The Iowa Supreme Court has issued a ruling about open meetings, which would apply to your board. Are you wrestling with that decision, Mr. Rastetter?
Yeah, I think we're trying to get clarity on the decision. Because we want to make sure that we're operating under the law and within the code.
What do you find problematic?
Well, what I find problematic is, and certainly we don't have the situation that existed in Warren County that made that happen. But let me give you an example, Kay, that if Executive Director Donnelly gets a call on a campus safety incident at one of the campuses, he would typically call Katie or myself, say we have this situation going on. And one of us would typically ask, so are we doing enough to make sure we look at our policies and rules? And he would say, you know, I've thought about that. And as an example, Indiana University has a better policy. And I'd say, why don't you look at that and bring that back? Talk to the universities, look at that. And then Regent Sahai maybe would call and say, I saw that in the paper. And what are we doing about this? Are we doing enough about it? That's typically how regents react to situations that happen.
So is this going to be a problem?
So I think it's going to be a problem. And I think our lawyers or the state needs to clarify exactly what it means on how we're going to operate. Because we want to do things within the law, but we also want to be able to have normal, practical conversations on how you make improvement.
We're out of time. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. And we'll be back next week with another edition of Iowa Press. That'll be 7:30 Friday night and noon on Sunday. I'm Dean Borg, and thanks for joining us today.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation.
I'm a veteran.
I'm a builder.
I'm a volunteer.
I am a teacher.
I'm a banker.
I'm an Iowa banker.
No matter who you are, there is an Iowa banker who is ready to help you get where you want to go. Iowa Bankers, allowing you to discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks.
Iowa Communications Network, ICN's Broadband Matters campaign, advocates for access to high-speed broadband in all corners of Iowa for education, public safety, health care, government, and economic development. Information is available at broadbandmatters.com.
Iowa Community Foundations, an initiative of the Iowa Council of Foundations, connecting donors to the causes and communities they care about, for good, for Iowa, forever. Details at iowacommunityfoundations.org. The Associated General Contractors of Iowa, the public's partner in building Iowa's highway, bridge, and municipal utility infrastructure.
The Arlene McKeever Endowment Fund at the Iowa Public Television Foundation, a fund established to support local programming on Iowa Public Television.